today on The Journey.
Every once in a while, you'll wake up and the extraordinary occurs. And you yell and you scream thanksgiving to God. When was the last time you were so moved to give God a standing ovation?
You know, you make me want to shout. That joyful refrain from the Isley Brothers tune, Shout, is a faint echo from an earlier time. The difference is, the older song has an infinitely more deserving object of adoration. Today, Ron Moore plays to that ancient verse and invites you to join him in jubilant singing. Just before that, I want you to note Ron's joyful holiday publication titled Advent, Preparing for Christmas. Within its pages, you'll find thoughts and activities to make this Christmas the most meaningful and uplifting ever. Advent is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Giving God a Standing O on The Journey.
Jake Porter was 17 years old, couldn't read, could barely write his first name, and even when he wrote his first name, he got the letters all mixed up. But one Friday night caused Jake to step out into the spotlight, and now he is talking and talking and talking to NBC and CBS and Fox News and ESPN because he scored a touchdown that won the game. Kind of. For 3 years, Jake has attended Northwest High School in McDermott, Ohio. He's played sports, but he never ran with the ball. He never made a tackle. He barely stepped on the field. You would expect that from a boy with chromosome fragile X syndrome, the common cause of being mentally challenged. But every day after his special education classes, he races to the football field or the basketball court or the track. Never plays, but rarely misses a practice. One Friday night changed everything. His team, Northwest High School, was playing Waverly High School, and they were getting beat 42-0. There were 5 seconds left in the game, so his coach sent him into the game with these instructions. You're going to get the ball. Only 5 seconds left. Take a knee. The game will end, but at least you'll be in the game. The other coach, opposing coach, saw what was going on, and he went out to his defense and said something that a defense rarely hears from their coach. He said, they're going to give number 45 the ball. Don't tackle him. Open up a hole and let him score. You understand? Jake got the ball. His teammates realized what was going on. They told him to run, and he did. First the wrong way. And then a referee rerouted him the right way, and a hole opened up as large as the Red Sea, and Jake ran for a touchdown. He still thinks his touchdown made for a comeback victory. Can you imagine running for a touchdown, not with 10 other teammates around you, but with 21 teammates? And then you get to the end zone, and people are going crazy. But players on both sidelines held their helmets in the air and screamed and yelled. Fathers roared and mothers cried. After the game, Jake's mom, who was a single parent and a waitress at a coffee shop in the town, ran to the opposing coach and wanted to thank him, but she was so emotional, words just wouldn't come. Every once in a while, you show up for a game and something out of the ordinary takes place. Every once in a while, you'll wake up to what you think is going to be a normal day, and the extraordinary occurs. Maybe for you, it was this morning. You saw the beautiful, beautiful sunrise. Or maybe it's a brilliant moon at night, or a glorious sunset, or a dark night where you look up and you see the sky just peppered with stars. An answer to prayer where you saw the unmistakable hand of God at work. The overwhelming realization that the God of the universe is at work in your life. And you were moved to emotion, tears, or shouts of joy. And you yelled and you screamed thanksgiving to God. When was the last time You were so moved to give God a standing ovation. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 66. Psalm 66 is a psalm of thanksgiving. And the psalmist begins by instructing us as believers, as those who have trusted in Christ, as those whose lives have been changed by God forever. He instructs us to openly and generously and willingly and unashamedly tell God how much we love Him. He tells us to openly and unashamedly and willingly express to God our thanks for all His works that He does for us. Look at verse 1. First thing He says is, shout with joy to God, all the earth. Give thanks with joyful shouting. The Hebrew word there means to cry out, loud voice, to shout in triumph. You've just won something. To shout in applause, to shout in joy. The old King James Version says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The psalmist says you have come to a point in your life when you are so struck by the awesomeness of God. You are so struck by His power. You are so struck by the tremendous things that He is doing in your life that you cannot contain your joy. It bubbles out in a shout of applause. It's the last time you did that. Certainly during congregational worship, you can't do that. There are responsibilities that we have. One person shouting during a service would disrupt other people. Now here the psalmist is not inviting us to work ourselves into an emotional frenzy. He is saying this, if you're really looking around at what God is doing, if you're really in tune with God, He's doing some pretty cool things. And there are times in your life when you cannot help but shout with praise to God. Secondly, he says, there are going to be times when you can't help but sing. Give thanks with heartfelt singing. Look at verse 2. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Music like nothing else moves the heart, doesn't it? Music like nothing else stirs the emotion. And when we sing, we do something we can't do at any other time. We reach down deep into our being and we bring out of it words of praise and words of thanksgiving. And we tell God how much we love Him. We sing loud. We sing to tell Him that we are thankful that He is at work in our lives. Now, quite honestly, when you sing, God may be the only one who appreciates it. But when you sing, it is glorious to God. When you tell Him from the deep part of your heart that you love Him, it is glorious to His ears. Now, one more thing here. Look at the progression. Verse 1, shout. In verse 2, sing. And in verse 3, say to God. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. You're awesome. How great is Your power. It's so great that Your enemies cringe before You. In fact, all the earth bows down before You. They sing praise to Your name. They sing praise to You. If you're familiar with Eugene Peterson and his translation, The Message, he translates these first four verses like this. All together now, applause for God. Sing songs to the tune of His glory. Set glory to the rhythm of His praise. Say to God, we have never seen anything like Him. When your enemies see you in action, they slink off like scolded dogs. The whole earth falls to its knees. It worships You. It sings to You. It can't stop enjoying Your name, and it can't stop enjoying Your fame. Shout to God. Sing to God. Say to God, there's no one like You. Have to be honest, don't we? There are some times in our life we don't feel like shouting. There are times when praise just doesn't bubble up. Maybe it's busyness of our lives that has disconnected us from God, or burdens, challenges we're going through. Knowing full well that to be the human condition, the psalmist continues and gives us some much needed instruction. Look at verse 5. Come and see what God has done. He invites us to come and see what God has done. How awesome His works in man's behalf. And then he rehearses some things that God has done in the life of the nation of Israel. He turned the sea into dry ground. They passed through the waters on foot. Come and rejoice in Him. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him. Here the psalmist says, thank God for His work in your life. You don't feel like it? That's fine. But take the time to review His work in your life and thank Him for what He's doing, even in difficult times. We know we need to be people of thanksgiving, but we just don't feel like giving thanks. And so the psalmist says, just step away from life and see what God is doing. To look around at all that He's given you. To look in and see the great things He's provided for you. Yesterday, we had a wedding and they had a unity candle. And the unity candle's in the middle and two individual candles on the side. And there's a little candle in the back and it's lit. And then the mothers come up and light from that candle and then light the two individual candles. Well, yesterday, by the time the mothers got up there, something had blown it out. It's a beautiful wedding. This did not hamper the wedding at all. They were still married. Everything's fine. But before I went up there, the mother saw me, and she's mouthing, candles, candles. So I'm thinking, okay, how are we going to get this done? So as the procession is taking place, I turn off my mic, and I tell the groom, tell one of the groomsmen to go get some matches. And so he passes it down, and it gets passed all the way down to the end. No telling what that last guy, what message he heard. Who knows? Finally, a little Bic lighter appeared from someplace. I don't know where it came from. And I lit him, and everything was great. Afterwards, I'm talking to Denise, and she says, Ron, if that ever happens again, just use one of the candles from the candelabra around you. And I said, what candles on the candelabra? She said, oh, probably only 80 candles. I went back and looked. I was like engulfed in flames up there, looking for a match. You know, there are times in our life when there are candelabras of thanksgiving all around us, but we're missing. We're looking for a match. Fire's blazing around us. God's doing tremendous things in our life. It's all there. But we're so focused on this one little thing that we miss all He's doing. The psalmist says, don't do that. See all that God is doing in your life. Now, some of you here may think, you know, I'm not surrounded by the fire. I am in the fire. I'm going through some challenging times. So the psalmist has some words for you. And his words are difficult, but he says this to you, thank God for His work even in the difficult times. Look at verse 8. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. Something has been going on in the psalmist's life. We don't know what it was. Look at verse 9. He has preserved our life. He has kept our feet from slipping. And then he says, God, here's what you have done. You have tested us. You have refined us like silver. You have taken us through the fire. You have brought us into prison. It has seemed like we have been captive. You've laid burdens on our back. We have been walking around, and it has physically felt like we're carrying around 75-pound backpacks. The burden is heavy. Some of you know exactly what that means. Look at verse 12. you let men ride over our heads. Pretty descriptive, isn't it? Pretty tough. We went through fire and water. All those things, you took us through them. Look at the last sentence. But you brought us to a place of abundance. You did all those things in our life, but you were at work. And in the end, you brought us to a place of abundance. And that's a promise from God's Word. I don't know what you're going through today. Maybe an extremely challenging time. I can only promise you this, not me promising you this, but God promising you this. He's going to see you through it. He'll refine you, test you, make you stronger. And in the midst of every difficulty, you can step back with His help and see all that He's doing in your life to make you the person He wants you to be. I can promise you, He is not wasting your time. He is using every situation in your life to grow you and stretch you and refine you and cause you to be the person He needs you to be for the next thing He has you to do. God is at work. And you can thank Him even in the midst of the difficult times. Thank God for those. Thanksgiving is not to be something we do. For the believer, for the person who has trusted in Christ, it should be the characteristic of our life. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." What does it take to live a life overflowing with thanksgiving? What are some ingredients? What do we need to do? Psalmist gives us four things. And the first one is determined obedience. Look at verse 13, but before we read it, I want you to note something. To this point, this has been a thanksgiving hymn. It was written to sing together. But now in verse 13, the psalmist gets very, very personal. And all the plural pronouns, the ours and the us's and the we's, become I and me and my. And here the psalmist is saying, in the midst of the battle, I don't want to become bitter. I want to continue to be a thanksgiver. And the psalmist personalizes it so that the person is now saying, I don't care what everyone else does. Here's what I am going to do. This is going to be me. I am going to do this. Determined obedience. Look at verse 13. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. We'll stop there a second. There are a lot of people who get very serious about their faith in Christ when they're in trouble. And then you know what happens? The challenge is over. They get a new job. Marriage is restored. Wayward child comes back home. And then all of a sudden, they become kind of unserious about their determination to grow. Psalmist says this, "You took me through a difficult time for a reason. And during that difficult time, I made some promises to you. And the difficult time's over. I'm not going to forget those promises." Determined obedience. Look again at verse 13. "I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I made promises to you and now I will fulfill them." Verse 15, "I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of rams. I will offer bulls." And goes, "I'll come and I'll worship you. I am determined to obey you." Determined obedience is the first ingredient in living a life that is truly overflowing with thanksgiving. Here's a second one. Personal witness. If God is doing some neat things in your life, shouldn't you tell somebody else? If God is working in your life in some pretty cool ways, wouldn't it be great to share that with other people? would not only be great, it's what you're supposed to do. Look at verse 16. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and let me tell you what He's done for me. I want to tell you, this is not something that I did, this is what God did for me. And I want to publicly give thanks for that, but in doing that, I want you to know that He can do the same for you. He's going to bring you to an abundance. Personal witness. Sometimes we're a little hesitant, aren't we, to share with others the great things God is doing. How is anyone else ever going to know? Think of the energy and the encouragement that gives to other people when you tell them what God is doing in your life. Third thing is confession. Look at verse 17. I cried out to Him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. The psalmist said, if I had cherished sin in my heart, if I was living with a known sin, if that's the way I'm living my life, then the psalmist says, the Lord would not have listened. So if there's some sin in your life, you know it's wrong, God has convicted you of it, and you continue in it without repentance, without confession, if I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. How am I going to be a thanksgiver if I'm cherishing sin in my heart? Last thing, confidence in God. Look at verse 20. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld His love from me. Praise be to God. I know He will not throw out my prayer, and I know He will not withhold His love from me. He will not look at me and not work on my behalf. The psalmist has confidence that God's going to do that. So to live a life of thanksgiving is much more than just standing up and singing songs, even loudly. Living a life of thanksgiving is an individual determination that I will be obedient to God. I will tell others what He's doing in my life. I will confess my sins before Him. And I'm going to live my life with confidence, because I'm going to always look around and see what He's been doing in my life. I'm going to thank Him and I'm going to praise Him for that.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Does your frantic holiday schedule threaten to push the true meaning of Christmas to the back shelves of your mind and heart? Would you like to recapture the wonder of the season and share it with friends and family? You can do that with Ron's holiday guide titled Advent, Preparing for Christmas. It shares devotions and activities crafted from carefully selected scripture readings. There, Ron helps you rekindle the anticipation of Christ's first coming and celebrate His joyous arrival on Christmas Day. Advent, Preparing for Christmas, will enrich your spirit this holiday season. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
We come to what is perhaps the most well-known psalm of them all, Psalm 23. We're going to see today that behind these words are dirty hands working with dirty sheep. But always, right in the middle of the sheep, we will see a shepherd. This is a psalm of David, the great king of Israel. But long before David was the great king of Israel, he was a simple and lowly shepherd. So David, the shepherd king, can write from first-hand experience,
the Lord.
He is my shepherd.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please visit our website to order your copy of Advent, Preparing for Christmas. It'll give each day of the holiday season joyful meaning as Ron guides you through the Advent calendar. Advent, Preparing for Christmas is available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Also, if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? And please remember, the journey relies on your generous donations to keep this ministry on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.